Today is Monday, March the 31st, and you are listening to the World Socialist Website. University administrations collaborate in Trump's reign of terror on campuses. By Joseph Keyshaw. The administrations of the major universities in the United States are playing an absolutely foul role in facilitating the fascistic reign of terror against free speech and democratic rights being implemented by the Trump administration. As a component of Trump's efforts to establish a political dictatorship, the White House is overseeing a sweeping assault on student protesters focused initially on international students. According to Secretary of State Marco Rubio, the administration has revoked hundreds of student visas based on political speech. Over the past week, students across the country have received emails from the US State Department informing them that their F1 student visas have been revoked and that they must leave the country at risk of being seized by immigration officials and thrown into detention centres, along with the threat that they may never be allowed back. These emails are part of the administration's catch and revoke policy, which includes an artificial intelligence program that monitors social media accounts to identify anyone involved in protests against the genocide in Gaza and opposing the policies of the Israeli state. Dozens of students have already been seized and thrown into detention centres for deportation, including Mahmoud Khalil, a lawful permanent resident, and a Columbia graduate student, Ramisa Ozturk, a Fulbright scholar and Tufts PhD candidate, kidnapped on the streets of Boston by masked ICE agents. And Yoon Seo-chung, a permanent resident from South Korea, who has been in the US since she was 7 years old. Mamadou Tal, a UK and Gambian citizen and PhD student at Cornell University, is facing imminent detention and deportation for attending protests against the genocide and in retaliation for a lawsuit he has filed against the Trump administration's illegal and unconstitutional executive orders. Trump is implementing an American version of Gleichschaltung, the Nazis' synchronization of all elements of intellectual and cultural life, including the revision of university programs and the purging of scholars, to correspond with state ideology. Without even the threat of SS troops, university administrations are facilitating Trump's demands and functioning as junior partners. Harvard University, long regarded as the pinnacle of American academia, is leading the charge. On Wednesday, it was revealed that the director and associate director of Harvard's Center for Middle Eastern Studies, Simao Kafada, and Rossi Bashir, respectively, were both summarily removed from their posts. The dismissals were carried out by Interim Dean of Social Science, David Cutler, who offered no public justification. As the Harvard Crimson reported, this dramatic shake-up follows previous moves by the university to sever ties with the Palestinian institutions and cancel events. Last week, Columbia University agreed to a list of demands that included placing its Middle East, South Asian, and African Studies Department and its Center for Palestine Studies under administrative review. Cornell University, for its part, has remained silent as one of its own. Mamadou Tal is targeted for arrest and deportation. Indeed, it created the conditions for the Trump administration's effort to deport Tal by attempting to suspend him last year for his involvement in demonstrations against the genocide. Over the weekend, Dr. Joanne Liu, pediatric physician and former international president of Doctors Without Borders, reported that a lecture she was scheduled to give at New York University was cancelled due to stated concerns from the administration that references to the mass slaughter in Gaza could be perceived as anti-Semitic and cuts to international aid programs anti-governmental. The administration of these universities are generally dominated by the Democratic Party and closely integrated with the corporate and financial elite, overseeing massive endowments and headed by presidents that in many cases have salaries of over $1 million a year. Harvard, for example, has an endowment of $53.2 billion, the largest in the world, while Columbia's endowment stands at $14.8 billion. These institutions are money-making machines, charging tuition rates that saddle students with lifelong debt while amassing billions in endowments tied up in hedge funds and private equity. The presidents and top administrators are executives in all but name. Harvard's president, Alan Garber, receives a salary of nearly $1 million, and he has received millions for sitting on the boards of various pharmaceutical giants. Prior to Trump's re-election, Garber's administration led the attack on student protesters, most infamously by blocking 13 undergraduates from collecting their diplomas during last year's commencement for participating in demonstrations against the genocide. The move was initially overturned by the Faculty of Arts and Sciences, only to be reinstated by the Harvard Corporation, which is packed with corporate CEOs and former members of Democratic Party administrations, such as billionaire Penny Pritzker. The actions of the university administrations underscore the fact that the turn toward dictatorship and the suppression of the most basic democratic rights does not arise merely from the head of Donald Trump. He is realizing, in the form of a presidential dictatorship, a process that is rooted in the oligarchic character of American society, a character that infects all of its institutions. Whatever tactical divisions exist between the Democrats and Republicans, they are united on the essentials. Both parties support the eruption of American imperialism around the globe, from the genocide in Gaza to the preparations for war with China. Both support the war on the working class at home. Throughout the genocide in Gaza, the Biden administration funneled weapons to the Israeli military while slandering student protesters as anti-Semites. Now, as Trump escalates to mass deportations, academic purges, and the dismantling of entire departments, the Democrats respond with collaboration and complicity. The trade union apparatus, for its part, is doing nothing to mobilize opposition to the persecution of graduate students, many of whom are members of the United Auto Workers, the UAW, the United Electrical Workers, the UE, and other unions, just as it is doing nothing to stop, and indeed facilitating, the Trump administration's assault on the working class. More than two decades ago, the Supreme Court intervened to halt the counting of ballots in Florida and install George W. Bush as President of the United States. At the time, the World Socialist website warned that the decisions would reveal how far the American ruling class is prepared to go in breaking with traditional bourgeois democratic and constitutional norms. The result of the Supreme Court case and the absence of any opposition for the Democratic Party, the WSWS wrote, demonstrated that there did not exist a significant constituency for the defense of democratic rights in the ruling class. As Trump now wrecks the framework of a dictatorship, that warning has been vindicated in full. The social force that can defend democratic rights and halt the descent into dictatorship is the working class. The crackdown on campuses is inseparable from the broader assault on the working class. The Trump administration is tearing up the union contracts of federal workers, carrying out purges at government agencies that in any way limit corporate profit, dismantling public education, and preparing a massive assault on Social Security, Medicaid, and other social programs. The repression of students is a warning for what is being prepared against all opposition to the corporate and financial oligarchy. The Socialist Equality Party and the International Youth and Students for Social Equality call for protests and demonstrations on campuses and in workplaces to oppose the escalating crackdown on free speech and democratic rights. We demand the reinstatement of all those who have been suspended, fired, or silenced for speaking out against the genocide in Gaza, and for the immediate release of those who have been seized for deportation. The defense of democratic rights and opposition to war cannot be waged on the campuses alone. It requires the independent mobilization of the working class. Students should send delegations to the factories and workplaces, and workers should prepare work actions, independent of the pro-corporate trade union apparatus, to defend all those targeted by Trump's dictatorial actions. The SEP and IYSSC are fighting to build a socialist movement to put an end to capitalism, the source of war, dictatorship, and inequality, through the expropriation of the financial oligarchy and the establishment of workers' power. This is the only basis on which democratic rights can be secured. We urge all those who agree with this perspective to join our movement and take up this fight. Top FDA vaccine scientist resigns, denouncing Kennedy's misinformation and lies. By Benjamin Mateus. Friday's resignation of Dr. Peter Marks from his role as head of the Food and Drug Administration's FDA Center for Biologics Evaluation and Research represents a significant milestone in the Trump administration's systematic dismantling of U.S. public health and scientific research institutions. Dr. Marks, a key figure in orchestrating Operation Warp Speed beginning in March 2020, played the central role in the development and deployment of COVID-19 vaccines within a year of the pandemic's declaration. In his resignation letter to Dr. Sarah Brenner, acting FDA commissioner, Marks emphasized the pivotal scientific achievements under his watch. He writes, "At FDA, the tireless efforts of staff across the agency resulted in remarkably expediting the development of vaccines against the virus, meeting the standards for quality, safety, and effectiveness expected by the American public. The vaccines undoubtedly markedly reduced morbidity and mortality from COVID-19 in the United States and elsewhere." After noting the extensive historical impact of vaccines on improving global health and well-being, Marks closed his letter with a scathing denunciation of Trump's health secretary, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He wrote, "As you are aware, I was willing to work to address the secretary's concerns regarding vaccine safety and transparency by hearing from the public and implementing a variety of different public meetings and engagements with the National Academy of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine. However, it has become clear that truth and transparency are not desired by the secretary, but rather he wishes subservient confirmation of his misinformation and lies." In his letter, Marks makes clear that a central impetus behind his resignation was Kennedy's criminal response to the deepening measles outbreak across the US, which has officially infected 400 people in Texas and over 500 across the US, the vast majority of which are unvaccinated children. Marks wrote, "The ongoing multi-state measles outbreak that is particularly severe in Texas reminds us of what happens when confidence in well-established science underlying public health and well-being is undermined. Measles, which killed more than 100,000 unvaccinated children last year in Africa and Asia owing to pneumonitis and encephalitis caused by the virus, had been eliminated from our shores." Stating clearly that the vaccine very simply does not cause autism, nor is it associated with encephalitis or death, Mark stressed, "It does, however, protect against a potential devastating consequence of prior measles infection, subacute sclerosing panencephalitis, SSPE, which is an untreatable, relentlessly progressive neurologic disorder, leading to death in about 1 in 10,000 individuals infected with measles. Undermining confidence in well-established vaccines that have met the high standards for quality, safety, and effectiveness that have been in place for decades at FDA is irresponsible, detrimental to public health, and a clear danger to our nation's health, safety, and security. The majority of measles cases in the worsening nationwide outbreak, approximately 75%, are children aged 19 and younger, while a staggering 97% of those infected have not received vaccinations. To date, 70 individuals have been hospitalized, including 58 children, with 40 of those under the age of 5. 2 people have died so far, of whom one was an unvaccinated child. Amid this growing crisis, some parents in Gaines County, Texas, the epicenter of the outbreak, are resorting to quack remedies and unverified supplements promoted by Kennedy to protect their unvaccinated children, including cod liver oil, rich in vitamin A. Despite this already leading to several cases of liver toxicity due to vitamin A overdose, with affected children requiring hospital treatment, Kennedy has not retracted his promotion of the quack remedy. Despite the availability of a safe and effective vaccine, measles continues to pose a severe threat, largely due to the pervasive influence of anti-vaccine disinformation from Kennedy and his allies. The COVID-19 pandemic, rather than strengthening public engagement with scientific discourse, has profoundly exacerbated the politicization of health science and fueled anti-public health sentiments, leaving communities vulnerable to preventable diseases. Measles was eliminated in 2000, after over 30 years of a mass vaccination campaign. Only in 2018 did cases begin to flare up again, the product of anti-vaccine sentiment fueled by the likes of Kennedy. If the current rate of infection continues, the US status of having eliminated measles will be over by next year. Marx's resignation also takes place amidst Kennedy's gutting of the Department of Health and Human Services, the HHS. The restructuring plan, which threatens to slash staffing levels by 25% from 82,000 to 62,000 employees, consolidates 28 divisions into 15 and shuts down half of the HHS regional offices, has raised significant concerns about the future of public health administration in the country. Compounding these concerns are the appointments of Great Barrington Declaration co-author Jay Bhattacharya as head of the National Institutes of Health, the NIH, and Dr. Marty Makary as the FDA commissioner, two Trump loyalists who have sprouted anti-vaccine and pro-infection propaganda throughout the COVID-19 pandemic. Another critical factor clearly motivating Marx's decision was Kennedy's appointment of leading anti-vaccine conspiracy theorist David Geyer to lead a new official study into the long-debunked claims that vaccines cause autism, which has ignited a firestorm of criticism from the medical and scientific community. Geyer has been previously disciplined for practicing medicine without a license, and he lacks a medical degree, along with his father, Dr. Michael Geyer, who had his medical license revoked. They have been involved in multiple discredited studies attempting to establish a link between thimerosal, a vaccine preservative formerly containing ethyl mercury, and autism. Notably, thimerosal has been phased out of most vaccines since 2001 due to public concerns, despite lacking evidence of harm. Additionally, the Geyers have promoted controversial and medically dubious treatments for autism, including chemical castration and chelation therapy, further entrenching their positions within the anti-vaccine movement. Geyer's appointment obviously eliminates any credibility and integrity of the proposed study, which will be used to advance their anti-vaccine agenda shared by Kennedy. Despite exhaustive research by global medical and scientific communities that has found no evidence whatsoever to support a link between vaccines and autism, this new study will involve a deliberate attempt to undermine factual science in favour of predetermined conclusions. It will undoubtedly lead to the propagation of further disinformation and negatively impact public health, fueling the current measles outbreak and setting the stage for the proliferation of other long-eliminated infectious diseases. Since the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic, Kennedy has become the central figure of the contemporary anti-vaccine movement, earning a spot as one of the disinformation dozen, most responsible for promoting disinformation about the COVID-19 vaccines. In these fascistic efforts, Kennedy has profited handsomely. Disclosures from his 2024 ethics agreement reveal substantial financial connections, including $856,559 in referral fees from the Wisner-Baum law firm over the last year, adding up to $2.5 million over 3 years. This firm is known for its dubious legal battles against pharmaceutical companies, including a failed lawsuit against Merck's HPV vaccine, Gardasil, which they falsely claimed could cause the cancer it aims to prevent. Though Kennedy has reassigned his personal stakes in these lawsuits to his son, Connor Kennedy, this maneuver does not obscure the underlying profit motive and corruption tied to his political position as Secretary of Health. The potential for Kennedy and his associates to directly profit from promoting discredited links between vaccines and autism is alarming, as it threatens to undermine decades of public health achievements. The current official political climate, dominated by far-right populist rhetoric and Trump's aggressive undermining of democratic norms, serves as a fertile ground for anti-vaccine movements. These movements exploit public fears and skepticism to erode trust in science and public institutions. To counter this far-right propaganda, workers must recognize that public health and scientific truth are not personal concerns, but are deeply intertwined with the class struggle. The American and international working class must organize and ally with principled scientists to force the implementation of socialist policies that prioritize public health over profit. For these articles and more today, visit the World Socialist website, wsws.org. This has been John Davis.
The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.